One morning in June some 20 years ago, I was born a rich man's son. I had everything that money could buy, but freedom I had none. I've been looking for freedom. I've been looking so long.
Muy buenas tardes, queridos oyentes. Bienvenidos de nuevo a Brave Potatoes, Collins. Brave Potatoes de nuevo, cada día más frío aquí en el estudio, ¿eh?
Oh, yeah, very cold.
Menos mal que estás sudando bien para calentar ahí el estudio. Se agradece.
Definitely.
Seguro que nuestros invitados están agradeciendo que estés ahí sudando.
Oh.
Como un pollo. Gustavo, Carolina, bienvenidos de nuevo. Os estamos exprimiendo todo lo posible para que compartáis con nosotros estas experiencias que tenéis que en África y con estos programas tan innovadores de créditos. Yo creo que a nuestro público realmente le interesa esto que estamos viendo, por lo menos a mí sí que me interesa. Estaba comentando con Gustavo antes acerca de la comida allí en Costa de Marfil, que por ejemplo la paella, que no la conocen, ¿no?
No, I think they don't.
Y el rabo de toro. Y el rabo de toro.
Probably they don't.
Son países que no están civilizados.
Callos, que tienen que tener callos.
O entresijos.
Como Dios manda.
Unos buenos entresijos o gallinejas.
We can think of setting up an import-export of Spanish food there.
Imagine.
Claro, estos países luego, pues económicamente no evolucionan normal, con estas carencias. Claro, en cultura gastronómica es normal que no avancen, no sé.
That's the way it is. But on exchange of that, it also allows us to taste very exotic and different foods and meats, like the rat.
Oof, rat. Very nice. So do you have to catch them yourself?
No, I didn't, fortunately.
No, actually, are these rats bred in the sense of like a rat farm, or do they just catch them and kill them?
Yeah, they are wild. They live in the jungle. They are very big rats. Very big.
Yeah. Imagínate una granja de ratas.
Like how big?
Well, that one in particular we ate seemed a cat.
Oh my god. Yeah. And did they take the fur off? Did they take the skin off?
Yeah, I didn't see the process, yeah, honestly. Yeah,
it's probably better not to.
I only ate it.
And what did it taste like?
Well, the
like
point is
like McDonald's but without the ketchup.
Without
the ketchup, like McDonald's.
But is it white meat or red meat?
It's white, yeah. It's more or less white.
So like chicken or turkey, maybe. Or pork, perhaps.
It's said to taste like a chicken, but as it was cooked with a lot of sauce, the flavor was very complicated to distinguish. But it was nice,
yeah,
I have to say, well, it's very nice.
To be fair, I think we think about these things with a certain element of prejudice, because rats, we consider them to be dirty, horrible animals, but
they're not.
Meat is going to be the same as anything else, I suppose. Well, it depends. If it eats well, I don't know if rats eat well or not in the Ivory Coast. It's a product of its diet as well.
If they eat what?
If they eat well, I mean, if they eat.
Ah, okay.
You know, lots. I don't know what they eat. What do the rats eat?
The point is, for them, the main food is the. Well, I was looking up the names in English. I think it's cassava. Cassava could be. It's a sort of tubercle. It's mandioca in Spanish, and ñame, which are typical tubercles in South America.
It could well be. It could well be. I'm not sure of the. Don't know the word.
I don't really know.
That's something similar to. A potato.
Yeah, like
a big
potato.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And then rice. Rice, but especially in rural areas, rice is not so consumed because it doesn't give so much energy as those tubercles. And one of the things that surprised me the more there was that they buy the rice in Thailand. Mm-hmm. You could see a lot of sacks of Thai rice.
Porque es más barato, quizás.
Well, it was one of the questions I asked in the beginning to the members of the NGO.
O porque las ratas no les gusta el arroz de allí.
It's probably that, no, but it was a very curious answer, because I said, why do you buy your rice to Thailand when you have a lot of jungle and lands to grow your own rice? And they said, well, we care about we care about growing rice to export it to your countries, and we forget we have to eat.
Oh God.
So why don't we import it from Thailand instead of import it from Ivory Coast here in Europe?
It's closer.
Mm.
I mean, the Ivory Coast is closer to Europe.
Exactamente, Gustavo, ¿qué era lo que estabas haciendo? ¿Qué fuiste a hacer en este viaje a Costa de Marfil? ¿Ibas con una ONG y había un proyecto concreto? ¿Estabais? ¿Qué era lo que hacíais allí? ¿O cuál era el propósito de esta ONG allí?
Well, the main purpose was really to promote cultural interchange between Europeans and African people, because I am not, I don't have an experience in working with NGOs, so we couldn't, and only for a three week period, we couldn't solve all the problems. So work was really only an excuse to promote that change, that cultural interchange. And particularly, a project was chosen, and it consisted of helping farmers of a village in the Ivory Coast in a rubber plantation. Mm-hmm. So it was an agricultural project.
Mm-hmm. Entonces el proyecto de la ONG era por una parte ayudar a los agricultores, pero en realidad lo que se pretende es que Occidente se conciencie un poco de lo que está ocurriendo allí, ¿no? De que la gente que vive en el primer mundo vea un poco lo que ocurre allí. Yeah. Quizás sea eso, ¿no? Como primer paso para ayudar, saber lo que ocurre y luego ya que ayuden quizás, ¿no?
Exactly. And this is why I am here to make a sort of awareness of those projects and the reality of people living here.
Yeah, and now thanks to you, now at least three more people know about this scheme. Our three listeners
and millions in Madrid. I hope so.
So, is there a particular website or where they can, you know, see things, see your photos, or see, read about your experiences, or sign up, or find out more officially about this kind
or
of thing?
Or some people want to do the same as you did.
Yeah.
How could they do it? How can they sign up for this?
I think the most amusing way to have an idea about the experiences I lived is they can find a video I hanged in YouTube by clicking "Trip to Ivory Coast" in English, not in Spanish, because I wrote it like that. And well, they can see there the images, and the organization I used to work in that project is Servicio Civil Internacional, which is everywhere, international civil service. And I don't remember exactly the website, but they can.
Servicio Civil Internacional. Yeah. Según nos comentabas antes, esta ONG lo que hace simplemente es poner en contacto a personas que están interesadas en ir de voluntarios, lo que sea, con organizaciones que están allí localmente. O sea, ellos mismos no tienen proyectos concretos allí, sino que ellos interrelacionan, ¿no? Con las ONGs que trabajan localmente allí, ¿no?
Exactly. They just act as intermediaries. And then they ask for an evaluation of the project you have worked in.
And are you looking to return? Would you like to return?
I'd be delighted to return, maybe to somewhere else, because I like to see other countries, other cultures. I'm also thinking of Asia, but it's still a long time until summer.
try to go to Thailand, they have a very good rice there.
But Thailand currently is not a very safe country, or not very recommending.
The
there are no airports to land.
And Carolina, what about you? You work in a non-governmental organization. So in terms of your, for example, your holidays, would you like to do something like what Gustavo has done? Or would you prefer to, because you're doing, in a sense, doing that all the time, would you prefer to just go to a beach or...
Okay. It good depends. Question. No, I would really like to do something like Gustavo. I think it's very interesting, mm-hmm. and because you discover another country and another culture, and yeah, it's very interesting. But as you know, I'm a French person here in Spain, and so I go back to France during my holiday to see my family.
And it's the same for me.
So
exactly.
I cannot I cannot have the holiday I would like.
No, I've been complaining about that for years. The same reason, because you want to go back, because if you don't go and see your, if you go off somewhere exotic, then it means you don't see your family for a
exactly.
long time.
¿Qué te llevó a vivir en Madrid desde Francia? A venir desde Francia aquí a Madrid.
Okay, first I went to Bilbao for an Erasmus exchange. So this was a few years ago, and I studied in Bilbao for 2 years. Then I went to England, I came back to France, and finally I came back to Madrid because I really enjoy the life in Spain. Yeah.
And you see yourself in the future living in Madrid?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a welcoming city, I think. Big cities are not always necessarily welcoming places, but the impression that I've always had from Madrid is that nobody is from Madrid. Everybody's roots are outside, so it's like everybody arrives and everybody is made to feel quite welcome. That's my experience.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, whether you're from a different part of Spain or from different countries, it's a good place. And do you go home often to France for a weekend? Or what part of France are you from, anyway?
My parents live near Paris, mm-hmm. so I usually go back there, yeah.
And do you go very often for a weekend?
On holidays, mostly holidays, so yeah, 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah. Do you fly or do you drive to go back?
No, I go by plane.
Yeah. No,
¿Qué te llamó más la atención cuando viniste a vivir a Madrid, en contraste con la vida que llevabas en París? Bueno, habías vivido en otras ciudades, pero...
I don't know.
¿Era lo que esperabas o no?
Yeah.
Habiendo vivido en Bilbao, mm-hmm. ¿notaste también mucho contraste?
It's different because it's more sunny in Madrid. The weather is better than Bilbao. I think the big difference for me was when I went to Bilbao, because it was my first contact with Spain and Spanish language and everything. So in Madrid I had friends already here, so it was easier.
There's a big group of French guys who play for my rugby team, the Madrid Lions.
Okay.
It's like a big French community there. It's good. People from everywhere. Britain, France, Spain, the Americas. It's a nice, big, happy family. So anyway, Cabrera.
Collins, nos comentabas que tenías una noticia que compartir.
Exactly. We're talking about the crisis a lot at the moment, the world's financial crisis. But just to balance it, because I think there's too much talk of the crisis, people are still spending money. Believe it or not, people are still spending money. Listen to this. A shop worker was killed in a sales rush. A supermarket worker has been killed in a stampede of shoppers during the first day of America's traditional Christmas sales season.
Dependiente de un centro comercial ha muerto arrasado por una estampida el primer día de rebajas de Navidad en Estados Unidos.
Bueno, rebajas no, o sea, sales, o sea, ventas de Navidad.
Ah, bueno.
Sí. The 34-year-old man was knocked to the ground as shoppers swept into the stores after forming long queues outside the door. Police said shoppers physically broke down the doors when the Long Island Walmart opened at 5 o'clock in the morning, knocking the shop worker to the ground. He was killed by shoppers rushing into a shop and running literally over him.
Imagino
crisis? What crisis?
Imagino pocas muertes más humillantes que esa. Joder. Hay mucha crisis, pero vamos, la gente sigue comprando, ¿no?
It looks like. Mind you, this is Walmart. Do you know what type of shop Walmart is? Anyone?
Supermarket.
But they said it's supermarket. It's like,
what? It's a big store.
Es un gran almacén con descuentos, ¿no?
Yeah, it's a very cheap one, exactly. It's very, with lots of cheap things. So I think precisely this kind of shop.
Sería como un Lidl, pero a lo grande, como mucho más grande.
Sí, pero you
can buy everything.
You can buy everything, yeah. Exactly.
They are the biggest stores in the world.
Yeah, like the Corte Inglés, but 10% of the price.
Gustavo, imagino que después de venir de Costa de Marfil, cuando aquí se habla de crisis, como que lo ves con otro punto de vista, ¿no? A lo mejor no lo ves tan dura la crisis de aquí, ¿no?
Well, obviously, if we compare to them, we are still very privileged, yes.
Todavía podemos tomar arroz local y todo.
Yes, it's obvious that, well, now there's a risk of losing our employments and, well, it's a serious situation, but it has nothing to do with us over. It's and in fact one of the positive things about the way they live there is they are not going to feel the crisis, because it hasn't changed anything for them.
No, exactly. I've heard it said that maybe countries like Africa are going to be the ones that are least affected, because they're at a low economic level at the moment. I mean, their banks aren't really going to collapse, because their banks haven't been giving people mortgages like the ones in America.
People I met there doesn't understand a single word about banks, about loans. They live on the things they grow and the animals they hunt, and they conform themselves with bringing food to their homes every day and sending the children to the school. So that's the way.
Quizás no les importe si están navidades, no pueden ir a esquiar a Suiza, ¿no?
Absolutely.
Es otro punto de vista totalmente distinto de la crisis, ¿no? Bueno, Carolina, ¿has visitado algún país tan impactante como Costa de Marfil o algo así? Porque en Marruecos la situación hay pobreza, pero quizás no es tan excesiva, ¿no?
But in Morocco, it depends where you go, you know, because if you go as a tourist, you see just one part of Morocco. And actually, we're working with very poor women. Most of them cannot read or write anything. They don't know. They know a little bit of Arabic, but nothing more, you know. And it's very difficult for them. So when you work with these people, you see another face of Morocco.
The country, really. Yeah, maybe in the coast or in the big cities or the touristic areas, they have like another. Well, they are closer to Europe in some way, in the economical way, but there's.
But these women live with less than 100 euros a month.
100 euros a month.
Sometimes you don't know, you don't understand how they can live. Because it's cheaper than Spain. Life is cheaper, but not so much.
100 euros a month.
En Túnez el comentario que hacían era algo similar, que los sueldos son como 200 euros más o menos al mes. Túnez se supone que es de los países más ricos de África, en comparación. El sueldo es como 200 euros al mes y los precios son bastante inferiores a España, pero no tanto como el sueldo. Entonces, a lo mejor el sueldo es 5 veces menor y el precio solo la mitad. Entonces, con la mitad de sueldo tienen que conseguir lo mismo. Entonces, es todo. Y es de los países más ricos de África en comparación.
I'd like to add that when you talk about those countries in the Ivory Coast, they like to remark that for them, that was not Africa. Geographically, it's clear it's Africa, but for them Africa is the black country.
Because they are Africa. More a Mediterranean country, more than an African country.
Yeah, and especially they want to remark the poverty is mainly there in the in the black Central and West Africa.
Sub-Saharan Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sí, probablemente sea cierto, ¿no? Porque se ve más diferencia en África Central, digamos, que en el norte, porque en el norte hay gente más pobre y más rica.
Middle East, really. I mean, the north of Africa is more like Egypt, Libya. Mm. It's almost like the Middle East rather than Africa. Mm. Okay, it is, as you said, technically it's Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the Arabic people, and so in that sense, yeah, the countries are more like countries in Syria, Jordan, places like that, maybe. Cabrera.
No, ay, perdón. Es la alarma de que llega el momento del Cultural Bridge, perdón.
Ah, okay, that's good call.
When moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide planets and love will steer the stars is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, the age of Aquarius. Aquarius.
Collins, ¿con qué nos sorprendes hoy?
I'm going to surprise you with a working woman. A song about a working woman. This working woman probably didn't get a grant or a special loan from your bank, Carolina, because this is a woman called Ma Baker, Mama Panadera.
Mama Panadera.
A song by Boney M. about a famous
Panadera.
Highway woman, highway robber, a robber, a bank robber. She went around robbing banks, and she didn't really need a loan in order to do that. It was self-financing, so that's probably why she didn't
ask for help to the ask to the woman bank.
Carolina's help. So
vamos con ello, Collins.
Okay. Que nadie se mueva, la bolsa o la vida. Give me all your money. Esta es la historia de Mama Panadera, la perra más mala del antiguo pueblo de Chicago. Era la perra más mala del antiguo pueblo en Chicago. Era la perra más mala. Le sacrificaba, no tenía corazón. No corazón. Era la perra más mala. Oh, era muy dura. Se cargó a su marido, pues no era lo suficientemente duro. Se llevaba a sus hijos, pues eran malos y fuertes. Mamá, mamá, mamá panadera. Se enseñó a sus cuatro hijos. Mamá, mamá. Manejar sus pistolas, mamá, mamá, mamá panadera. Nunca podía llorar, mamá, mamá, mamá panadera, pero sabía morirse. Cometieron muchos delitos por todos los Estados Unidos, y cuando un hijo fue matado, les hizo pagar. No tenía corazón, no corazón. Mamá, mamá, mamá panadera, enseñó a sus cuatro hijos. Mamá, mamá, mamá panadera, manejar sus pistolas. Mamá, mamá, mamá panadera, nunca podía llorar. Mamá, mamá, mamá panadera, pero sabía morirse. Conoció a un hombre, pensaba quedarse con él. Un día se apuntó con ellos, se deshicieron de él. No le importó nada. No, no le importó nada. Este es un boletín especial. Mamá panadera es la mujer más buscada por la FBI. Su foto está expuesta en cada oficina de correos. Si tiene cualquier información, por favor, contacte con su comisaría más cercana. ¡Que nadie se mueva! ¡La bolsa o la vida! Día robaron un banco. Fue su última incursión. Los maderas llegaron demasiado rápido. No pudieron escapar. Y el botín que tenían deshizo buen par. Así lo acabaron a disparos. Mamá panadera y sus hijos no quisieron ser ahorcados. Se murieron con las pistolas humeantes. Y se acaba la historia de una que no dejó amigos. Mamá, mamá. Mamá panadera enseñó a sus cuatro hijos. Mamá panadera.
Collins, me ha sorprendido que en esta canción además has hecho tú solo el dúo. O sea, te has hecho los coros, la canción principal, te has hecho todo tú solo.
Ha sido una canción Lady Boy.
En estilo Juan Palomo.
De chico mujer, ¿no? Un poquillo.
Collins, esta no es la. Boniem no es la que cantó la canción del Lute que trajiste hace
es
poco.
Que son. Yo creo que. Bueno, no creo. Estoy convencido de que Boniem son. O eran los mejores cuentacuentos del siglo XX.
Bueno, los mejores cuentistas, ¿no?
¿Eh?
Los mejores cuentistas.
Eso.
Muy bien.
They're fantastic. And there are more songs. So maybe one day I'll sing another one.
Queremos a nuestros oyentes que siempre podrán encontrar estos programas y muchos otros en bravepotatoes.podomatic.com.
Yes. Sin las tres W.
Y también pueden enviarnos correos electrónicos con cualquier sugerencia, canciones, noticias a bravepotatoes@radioenlace.org.
Pero que no nos envíen más de alojamientos de pene, que ya hemos aprovechado de esas ofertas y no, no nos hace falta.
Ni tampoco necesitamos Viagra canadiense.
Pero ya tenemos
de
bastante.
Total confianza. Tenemos para los próximos 10 años.
Absolutamente.
Un último recordatorio, Carolina, para alguien que esté interesado en este banco. Para mujeres, ¿cuál era la dirección de correo electrónico de página web?
www.bancomujer.org.
¿Y el nombre de la organización con la que tú fuiste, Gustavo?
Servicio Civil Internacional.
Pues, queridos oyentes, aquí tenemos varias sugerencias para de páginas web o de organizaciones que podéis visitar para ponernos todos un poquito al tanto de proyectos que se están haciendo, que, bueno, a veces en esta época navideña nos centramos más en el centro comercial y nos olvidamos un poco de lo que ocurre ahí fuera, ¿no? Que parece que tenemos bastante con nuestra propia crisis, pero las hay un poquito más fuertes por ahí fuera. Nos vemos la próxima semana, Collins. Carolina, muchas gracias por estar aquí. Gustavo, ha sido un placer volver a tenerte. Queridos oyentes, hasta pronto.
But freedom, I have none.